Come on a journey with me, Bree Lawrenson, where we talk about the stories behind the scenes in the music industry. Grab a drink or four. This is your front row ticket in to the distillery with me, Bree. We gave away a Yeti cooler in October, $1,000 in December, and because of the Patreon family, Bree Lawrenson Patreon family, we were able to donate $500 to the Children's Hospital here in Ottawa. Thank you to my Patreon family. Join the fun. Check it out. Bree Lawrenson on Patreon. We do giveaways all the time. And with 68 new members, we would love to keep growing. Check us out. Bree Lawrenson on Patreon.
Okay, well, you do it then.
No, go ahead. No, just do it your way.
Welcome into another episode of The Distillery with me, Bree Lawrenson, and Attic T, who's totally messing up my vibe right now.
I'm not messing up your vibe. How am I messing up your vibe?
I was on fire with that
no,
first
that
intro.
No, that was a good one. I'm sorry. That was a good intro.
Yeah, and you're like, no.
Well, it's usually because...
I think that your ego wanted to stop it because it was too good.
No, I...
Yeah. You have an ego. You're a man.
Okay, well, this was a short episode.
This was a short episode.
Oh, man. What are we talking about? Oh.
I love how you're wearing your snowman Christmas
Yeah, I know.
Pants.
I'm very comfortable right now. I'm even wearing my slippers. I'm super comfortable.
You are.
Right now.
Wow, and I got all dressed up in my black dress.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm like,
you did not have to do that.
In the middle of
you
doing
look great.
My hair. Well, thanks.
You change your hair again.
Again, I do it all the time. I love it. I love doing
so it. Was
it's
blue,
a hobby
now
for
it's,
me now.
It's what?
So now it's like an ombre. So it goes from like brown.
Ombre?
So I dyed my real hair. I took my braids out. I dyed my real hair black.
Correct.
First, I dyed it violet. And I was like, that's dumb.
Why?
It looked purple.
Did I even see it violet?
Yeah, it looked purple because like the roots were black and then the blonde tip, because it was so blonde before.
Yeah, yeah.
It looked purple. So I was like, this is retarded. I mean, I shouldn't say that
word.
I'm so sorry.
Wow.
I'm so sorry. And then I went away on the girls' weekend and all the girls were like, oh, I love your hair. I'm like, no, I'm trying to fix it. I just didn't have enough time. So, and then I bought the extensions that went from black to dark blue to light blue.
Those are the most recent ones that we're in.
And that's the ones that I put in. And I only had those in for like a week.
Yeah, I like the blue. The blue's nice.
It was different, but now I got these. So it's like brown.
So is it like a
dark
golden,
brown to like gold brown to golden. Blonde at the end.
Nice. They look nice.
It keeps
Another
my hands
color.
Busy, you know?
Yeah.
It's like knitting, but it's not knitting.
You knitted a lot during the pandemic.
Yes, I did.
We still have a bunch of knitting stuff.
We have all kinds of knitted hats that I made for my merch. And
you just sent some stuff out this week, too, to Patreon.
And I've sent some hats, yes, to Alabama.
Nice.
And
shout out to Alabama.
Texas, I'm sure. The hotter places. I'm like, you're not going to need this.
Yeah, you're not going to need a toque.
But here's your toque from Canada. Here's your toque from Canada.
Don't wear it in the summer. You'll get really hot.
Stream Bree Lawrenson everywhere.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, and this episode's coming a little late because we've just been... It's been another crazy week. I feel like I've been working like 12 hours a day every day. And it's an hour drive to work, so from there, it's usually like a 13-hour day, sometimes 14-hour day by the time we leave the house and get in. So it's been a very busy week.
Yeah, and then you come home and Zane is like nuts and crazy.
He gets all excited when I get home. I was throwing him around today on the couch.
It's not like we don't got nothing going on.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, plus the cord broke too, right?
The cord? Oh, yeah, that's right. We had a few technical issues.
Yeah, we had some technical issues, Sue. So this one's coming a little bit late, but everything's fixed now. We even bought extras.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very happy with that. We were talking earlier about TikTok.
Yes. The news on TikTok.
So give us the news because she's been very passionate about it.
I just think it's crazy.
So what's going on?
What are we, Cuba? We're not Cuba.
No.
We're not communists. Well, I'm sorry, we aren't, because, hello, we're in Canada. But the U.S. has passed the bill to ban TikTok.
Yeah.
And so if I think that it TikTok has like 130 days until it's like banned, unless it gets bought by a U.S.
Yeah, yeah. Kevin O'Leary is going to buy it.
And that's what I heard. And I was like, thank you, Shark Tank.
Watch the cool.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting really passionate.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kevin O'Leary. He's like...
He's buying it from the States, right? So it's not... Because Canada... What's Canada doing with this right now?
Well...
just 1 second. You keep talking.
I think that they're actually like reviewing it as well. To like pass the same kind of bill.
Canada is?
Yeah. And it's all because, you know, they think that the Chinese, they think it's dangerous because
it's spying. It's the Chinese is spying.
It has the app. It tracks all your data. It tracks everything from your phone, I guess. Right?
So, yeah, when I was looking at TikTok, when I was reading about the Kevin O'Leary article, here's something that he said that's pretty cool. So he's like, I'm proposing purchasing these assets into a new American company. So that means, you know, the servers, everything's going to be, what he says, everything is going to be in American soil, including the servers and everything. He says, I'll guarantee the servers are on American soil. I guarantee we'll close the Chinese back doors in the code. I'll guarantee it's safe for users, small businesses, and large businesses. It will be an American company.
Well, that's the thing, because if they take away TikTok, they are affecting the economy like directly, because there's so many small businesses on that run and they make their living.
I see a lot of ads on that stuff now. Even like ads out of Toronto for like used cars and stuff. I see a lot of videos on TikTok about cars and
because, you know, it's the best way to market your business.
This is another person who's offered to buy TikTok. He's the former Activision Blizzard CEO Bobby Kotick. So the publication reported that Kotick has expressed his interest in buying TikTok to ByteDance co-founder Zhang Yiming and OpenAI CEO Sam Altman.
I'm sure you read
on the internet, but that's two people that from
me being an avid TikTok user, I'm watching lives like 24/7 when I'm not sleeping.
She really is
a creator that I love or whatever, or just scrolling. I'm totally addicted, but that's not what I'm going to talk about right now. I'm seeing creators say that like there's so much money, even from like some big billionaire from like the you know, Dubai or something could buy it. Like,
oh, 100%. Yeah, anybody could buy it. Yeah.
And that's definitely what's going to happen, I feel. They're literally rioting in Washington right now. Like Mama Tot.
Who?
Mama Tot from TikTok.
Who is Mama Tot? you're talking like I should know who Mama Tot
well,
is.
Well, you should, because she has like millions of followers.
Okay.
Her son was murdered.
Oh.
And like she was already a big creator before all that happened, and then all of a sudden her son was tragically murdered, and TikTok, her TikTok family basically got her through that, and because of it she, you know, received so much like, you know, support and even like financial support. Like,
that's amazing.
Like,
it is a sense of community for a lot of people.
And
it is a sense of community.
I just saw a TikTok of Rosie O'Donnell tonight. She's saying, this is ridiculous. They can't get rid of TikTok. There's so many people that rely on TikTok, and it's affected our community.
For sure.
In so much positive ways. Yeah, and I'm like, Rosie, gosh, Rosie O'Donnell. She's like... How many? She has, I don't know, 8 million, probably more than that, followers. But she's an avid user. And she's like, and by the way, I love it. Like, it's so fun. Yeah. It makes me happy. Like,
well, I think like we've talked about it before, right? It's just people started to get connected during the pandemic, you know. And
that's what I was gonna say. Sorry, I got off track. I was my point was about Rosie is that she said the reason why they're banning TikTok is because there are real people posting in there are real people that are living in war zones that are posting about like what's happening and yeah. like it's not controlled by mass media, which is essentially
it's
would never show those
yeah,
things
the
because
things
of the corporate
see,
gain that
right
yes exactly yeah. It's real people showing real life things and it's all just like a crazy political thing and you know it all again is all about money and the government trying to control
yeah.
People.
Well, you're
right
seeing
now,
that. You're
like,
seeing, I mean, you don't even see that just in the States. You see that kind of everywhere where the government's trying to control everything, right?
Yeah.
It's.
I think that it's they'd be taking away our freedom of speech and our rights to like.
To party.
Yeah, like I think it's nuts.
It is crazy, honestly. It is.
And
is
I don't
crazy.
Think it'll happen. I don't think. That TikTok is going anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, if Kevin O'Leary is serious about it, you know, and he knows investing and all that type of stuff, right? There's he knows that he could also make a shit ton of money off
he's
it.
He's a very well, he's like
he's a smart
an
businessman.
Amazing businessman.
Yeah.
He knows how to do it. He knows how to run it.
Speaking of business people, did you see Beyonce with that I think oh shit, where was the wedding? I don't want to say the wrong country. The wedding.
No,
of
are
that.
You talking about Rihanna?
Yes,
Rihanna,
sorry, I said
Beyonce.
Beyonce. Sorry, Rihanna. Yeah,
doing
yeah.
the private private,
doing the private concert
party for
$6 million fucking dollars.
No, it was $8 million, I think.
I read six, but it could be eight. I think when I was talking to my brother about it last weekend, he said eight. So it could be eight. Like I don't know.
Because she doesn't tour anymore, right? She doesn't like.
Yeah, this
she,
is like her first. It said it was just her first like full length concert.
But she's
in
worth
years.
Like billions of dollars now because of her fashion.
Her fashion line. Her what fashion. Is that? Just clothes?
It's Fenty. It's Venti? Fenty Beauty. Or oh, and, okay. And so they have makeup. They have clothes, lingerie. Mostly I think it started like with lingerie.
Yeah.
But like for all sizes of women. Like not just like, you know, like Victoria's Secret.
It didn't go. Victoria's Secret doesn't go.
No, so Fenty like actually has real women sizes, like for real women, like that aren't like Victoria's Secret models, and that was like
but
a whole
but what
thing.
I'm saying is Victoria's Secret doesn't have
no.
They just go up to a certain size.
No,
and
have
just,
you have you heard the song recently?
Which song
about Victoria's Secret and how Victoria's Secret was like made by a man? This is why we need Jamie. We need our Jamie.
I know, Samaya, you're fired. You even started.
Because she would know exactly what I'm talking about okay. right now, and you're just like,
so,
huh?
So there's what, a big what's song. The story? So what's the or sorry, the song?
Victoria's Secret was made by a man, and you know, like to made to feel, you know, that women can't normal women can't be proud of their bodies.
Oh,
if like it's that. It's
oh, okay.
The whole
okay.
body positivity thing.
Oh,
there was
okay.
a huge
okay.
song that, and it was on.
Oh, really? I'll have to check
pop.
That out. Mm-hmm. It's an actual
song.
Song?
Yeah, I forget okay. who does it. That's why we need Samaya. Oh my gosh.
What song have you been listening to lately, nonstop, by Luke Combs?
His song out. It's called "Where the Wild Things Are."
Give us something.
Oh. Whoa, it's hearts on fire and crazy dreams. Whoa, ignites those night like gasoline. I just love it.
What's the song about?
It's a basically, I think it's about, and if you watch, you can watch, I watch him on YouTube a lot, and there's only, I think, one video for it, and he's like holding his phone while he's in the studio, just singing it, and it's, I don't know if it's a true story, but like the story is about two brothers, a big brother and a little brother, and how the big brother, like the one line in the song, goes, he kickstarted that bike and broke mama's heart or something like that. So he's like got a motorcycle. My big brother had an Indian scout, black like his jacket. American spirit hanging out of his mouth, just like our daddy. He kick-started that bike one night and broke mama's heart. And I'm just like, the spirit behind the siblings in the story really speaks to me. So I love it. Okay. I'm just like, you know, he goes, I called my brother from the back of that plane. It's basically about his big brother, like, getting on a motorcycle and driving away from where they are and going out to live in California. But then he goes to see him in California. And if you listen all the way to the end of the song, they actually, the big brother dies because of his motorcycle.
Oh, he ended up getting in a motorcycle accident?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really sad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad. Yeah. Okay. I know, but I love sad songs.
Took the air out of this room.
I'm sorry, but I just, I don't know. I was like, but I knew he'd never leave. Oh, they say he hit that guardrail at 3:30. It's like, it just
What's
takes
it
that twist to turn and you're just like, you're gutted, like, right?
What's it called again?
It's called Where the Wild Things Are.
Where the Wild Things Are.
And we buried him in the Western wind neath the West Coast stars, out where the wild things are.
Did you learn it on guitar yet?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you record it already and put it on TikTok?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've done two. Like, I'm doing these cover sessions. I find that.
What is this? What is the nighttime after hours? Free after hours.
You just turn my mic off. After hours. Well, it's like literally because I'm such a night owl. And then, you know, so when you guys are in bed, I'm like either working on editing or I'm I haven't live streamed in a little while, or I'm creating content, or I'm creating merch for like the show that we have coming up and the Patreons. But all the like while I'm doing that, I'm watching like YouTube of like Keith Urban songs that I love, and like,
is that inspiration for you?
And then all of a sudden I'm like, God, I should just sing that. I should just post a song, like, just because that's kind of, I'm so sporadic with it. It's just, I feel like
ADDing out.
I need to just get it out.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I'm just like, well, and it's like so late, people are probably like, wow. She poses at like 12:30 at night, but literally I've always been a late.
Yeah. So so that's what it is? Like, you just kind of posting covers?
Just covers, nice. Yeah. And then, like, if it's a cover, I'll say the cover sessions are after hours. Or,
yeah.
Like, if it's not a cover, like, I did.
I like the lighting and stuff. Sorry.
Yeah, I had the blue hair.
Yeah,
like,
looked nice.
In the kitchen.
Looked nice, yeah. I was like, I know that kitchen.
Okay, wow. But I don't know her. Like, who's that?
Who's the famous lady singing in my kitchen?
And actually, there was a lot of people, because I did an after hours of my song Hell Down Here.
Yeah.
And
great tune.
There was a lot of people like commenting and being like, my aunt just passed away from cancer. This song hits me hard, and like hearts and stuff.
And that's the whole point of music.
Exactly. So. And I'm like, so when I feel, because my life is so sort of jam packed these days, that when I get a moment and I feel like I'm inspired, I got to get it out at that moment, even if it's like 1:30 in the morning. And I used to do it even when I was a kid and a teenager. I'd wake up in the night, or I wouldn't sleep at night because I was writing lyrics on my wall.
Yeah.
Like my mind.
Your mom still complains about that.
I know, because she had to fix that wall. Yeah. So I'm, I don't know.
And what are you working on for music right now? Because you're kind of writing a couple bangers.
Yeah. Couple emotional ones.
Could you give us a little bit of it?
I do have a new song that, well, two new ones actually.
We'll release them to Patreon whenever they're.
Yeah. The Patreons always get the, like, literally the actual raw voice version. Notes. like this is my out of tune guitar at 1:30 in the morning, and I just have to record it so I don't forget it. Like, they get, you know, that kind of stuff because that's what they pay for. It's cool to have that community, because it's like family, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's like, as soon as I write a song, I would send it to you, or I would send it to mom.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
raw. And because I know that, like, you'll be supportive.
Of course.
And mom will be totally honest. And she'll be like, I like it. I don't know.
And I'm always gonna like it.
Sometimes she'll be like, "Oh my god, it's fantastic!" Yeah.
So tell us about the songs.
One of them's called "Karma Always Wins." I'm still working on it, but I had like an inspiration last night, and I was just like, "I have to record this." I don't know if it's gonna be what the song will be, because there's always rewrites and stuff that I always make sure, so because you want it to be like, and this is the unfortunate thing, because as an artist, I write about things that I go through.
Yeah.
And that's sort of like therapy to me. If I don't write it, then I even get sick. Like, I'm like, oh my God, like I need to
you
get
have to
this
get it
out.
It's an outlet for you, right?
Yes.
Writing
and
is
it's
an
always
outlet.
Been.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's very deep and like very vulnerable what I come out with. But I mean, I want to be that kind of artist. I don't want to hide things from my fans. I don't want to, commercialize everything because God, they play the same songs over and over and over again.
Yeah, and it's usually about the same things for the most part,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So it's nice to have a song that's raw and emotional.
And stand out.
Yeah.
Right? And then those are the songs that people actually talk to you about. Like,
and
oh my gosh,
with,
your
yeah.
song, Bottom of the Bottle. Yeah. There was one of my friends, and because of that song, she is my friend, because she came up to me at a show and
Crystal.
Said that it shaded it saved her life, that song.
Yeah. While she was going through a rough breakup. And
so yeah, one of them's called Karma Always Wins. And then the other one is called Love and Hate. And Love and Hate has been a title that I've been letting float around in my mind for probably 5 months now, 6 months.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I didn't really know. I don't know. Maybe I was just wasn't ready to write it yet. And then all of a sudden, it's like you get a download. It's like all of a sudden.
So you were thinking of a title, then all of a sudden the lyrics just hit you.
Yeah. So you think of a title and the concept of it.
Concept, you mean the
experience that you want to write about.
Oh, okay.
Like love
okay.
and hate.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
The dynamics of how you learned about love and hate and family dynamics and stuff. That was the whole concept of the song, but I hadn't written it for 5 months because I just don't think I was ready.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the other night I think I was just back from girls weekend and like, so like exhausted on the Monday, but
why were you exhausted?
I don't know.
Oh,
you know, like girls weekend, girls weekend, you have lots of hearts to hearts.
All right.
Okay. That's girls.
You were emotionally drained.
So yeah, emotionally drained. And then there was lots of, alcohol and
okay.
stuff,
all right.
Hot tubbing and heart to hearts, which is like the best thing ever. And then I don't know, I guess maybe my brain just felt like I was ready to speak about it.
Yeah.
And then I sat down on Monday. Like, it's not like phones just fell off there.
Like your hair is in the way.
I'm still in the middle of finishing it.
Oh, okay.
It's not like I have a writing schedule, because my songwriting has always been so spontaneous, and
yeah.
I never treated writing as 9-to-5 job, and I know that a lot of artists in Nashville do, and that's totally something that, I could have done for sure. But then I had a lot of support in Canada, and I could have moved there, but I met you and
thanks for sticking around. I appreciate it.
And done like the 9-to-5 songwriter thing, but it's not really how I've done things. And so spontaneously these things just kind of come. And
so can you give us a little bit of each song? Like, could you sing us a verse or two? Will the karma always wins?
Is that your interpretation of me?
No, that's just my interpretation.
Yeah, karma always wins. You have to like put it like a country twang on it. I can do a little bit, because I don't know what I'm doing with Karma Always Wins yet. I can do a little bit of Love and Hate,
okay.
I think.
Okay.
Well, you put me on the spot now. Oh. And I don't have my guitar.
What would you like me to do about that?
Just give me a second here. Have your hands in your eyes, but all you really ever gave me was goodbye. Loving you was my first mistake, but how was I supposed to know that it would go this way? That's all I'm going to do.
Nice. I love it.
Thanks.
I heard a little bits and pieces
of
it the other night.
On TikTok, I put it on.
Did you?
Because sometimes I want to know how everyone else feels about it.
Yeah.
Like, I know that it's a vulnerable song, and I'm like, well, if there's a real human connection out there for it, then it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, it's meant to be.
Yeah.
And people are like, they were commenting. They're like, oh, my God, like, this made me cry. Like, wow. Aww. And even my friends on Facebook and stuff, and they loved the guy. All of the reception was really
That's
great.
Awesome. And, is that the song that, because you were listening to, is it the Carrie Underwood song or Miranda Lambert? Wagon
Wheel?
No. Shit. Was it what song? I Cut My Bangs With Some Rusty Kitchen Scissors. Was that the song?
Oh, Mama's Broken Heart?
Was that the song you were listening to last night?
No.
No.
What was I listening to last night?
I don't know, but I thought Carmel Was Wins kind of sounded like it.
Oh, karma always wins. Ooh. It's like, it's going to be like an upbeat. It's kind of like, I hope she makes you smile.
That's what
that
it
one.
Is. Yeah. What song is
the
that?
The way you used, that's called I Hope by Gabby Barrett. And so a lot of my songwriting, I'm inspired by other songwriters. So, like, I'll bring my original song into the studio, and then I'll bring a song like that as well. And I'll let the musicians hear it. And
yeah.
And
we've kind of talked about that with Beard Music.
I do with them all the time.
Past archive episodes, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's like a songwriting process for me because, and it's so funny, I was thinking earlier today about writing songs in Nashville when I just started going there, and it was my first time writing with a lyricist that didn't actually play an instrument or sing or anything. They were just a lyricist. So
oh really?
Yeah, he was like
so the guy has no musical talent.
No, like he was just there, you know, as like his skill was a lyricist, so he's just good with words. And he's like, can you sing this for me now? And he's like, no, I need you to sing it for me because I need you to be inspired by your talent. Like the way that you're singing, like just do that thing where like musicians like play something and then they're like inspired by it. So they continue on. I don't know why. I just thought that was so funny because it's true. Like as a songwriter from like the age of 12, I would sing things and then I would think, you know, like this is how I'm going to go from here. If it sounds like that, it's like really, it's a process. And he was so funny because he said it. He's just like, let your talent inspire you. I'm like,
So he was saying like, sing it and then like replay it in your head and then, you know,
and let you like, let's just all let yourself hear your beautiful voice so that we can be inspired by the melody and like it's like a muse, right?
Yeah.
Like you have the actual artist in the room that has the voice, and so you have to hear the way that it's coming out in order to continue on. And it's such a funny creative process. Really.
What was that guy's name? Do you remember?
I felt like, oh my God, no.
Oh. Shout out to you wherever you are.
I've written so like with
well,
so many.
Well, yeah, you've written with so many people. When was that? When did you go do that? Do you remember what year that was?
Yeah, that was when I was writing with, I guess I won't say his name.
No, don't say anybody's name.
I shouldn't.
No.
That's the thing. Like, I don't want to, like, name drop people. This industry is so funny that way.
Yeah.
But, it was right when we started dating and I
was
going back and forth to Nashville all the time.
That was like 2011.
Okay, let's not focus on that.
We're old. Well, we're not that old, actually. We're pretty young. Anyway, not to throw it in anybody's face. I'm just kidding.
Okay, right. You're digging a hole now. That's what you're doing. Let's move past it.
It's a good time to wrap this episode up. I think it's a good time to wrap this episode up. We were going to talk about your trip to the CCMAs in Edmonton.
The first time we'll do that next episode. Yes, yeah. And I got to meet Gord and go to his hotel room.
Yeah,
and,
no, I wanted to know.
Okay. Okay. And you know, things got hot and heavy. No, I'm kidding. Wow. That sounded... Well, you know, that's what it sounded like.
Well, yeah, that is what it sounded like.
But it's not what it was. No.
April 19th, we still got ticket on sale, limited seating, the Oakfield Rugby Park in Perth, Ontario. So we'll definitely be playing a show there. Bree's going to be playing. We got Brad Scott as the opening act.
And Bradley D. Scott.
Bradley D. Scott. We're still trying to line up a date
with
him.
I've communicated with him today.
Yeah, good, good. And then we're going to be recording an episode live of the distillery.
So on April 19th, yeah, and you can still get tickets if you are across the world or in the States and can't make the actual show. You join us. Excuse me, I just burped right into the microphone. Yeah, that's the White Claws for you. Join us on Patreon, and then you'll be able to live stream the whole thing.
Yeah,
but you
sure.
do have to be like a paid member on Patreon.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
for as little as you. Less than you probably spend on Starbucks a month.
Yeah,
you can become a Patreon member and stream the show live from your
comfort of your own home. We're going to be going for a test run. We got one of our friend of the podcast, Bearded and Bored Podcast, or a supporter of our emails,
Bearded and Bored.
Yeah, frequent guest on there. Check out their podcast. But he's going to be coming down, and we're going to try to do the Patreon live just to make sure everything works.
Yeah.
And then we're going to be talking to the producer over there to make sure we can get sound hooked up straight from the board into the camera.
All of these,
so you'll have good good audio.
All of these
for
things
that live
happen.
I'm Addict T.
I'm Bree Lawrenson,
and we'll catch you on the next one.
Ciao.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Good episode. See you later.
Babe, you just let me ramble.
Yeah, that's okay. You did. It's not like you were.